So good to have you all here today. I'm so glad that you're joining us. This is a great day to celebrate our seniors and to celebrate all that is before us. You know, times are changing. And in this time, we recognize that we need to cultivate our faith. So I have a couple questions for us today. How do we cultivate a faith that lasts a lifetime? A faith that doesn't just work for right now, but one that's going to sustain us all the way to the very end of life. How do we nurture a faith that remains vibrant, what we're calling an all-in faith for all time? How do we keep the faith, especially in those really difficult times, in those times when it seems like maybe compromising would be in our best interest? How do we remain faithful? Well, Daniel, he gives us some answers. His faith held strong throughout his whole life, and as he was getting old, that faith gave him the courage to remain true even in a lion's den. So how is your faith holding out? Is it strong? Is it vibrant? Is it the kind of faith that allows you to go into a lion's den without worrying, trusting God? Or are you challenged to compromise? Does it seem like it would just be a whole lot easier if we would just give up and give in to the pressures of the world around you? Now, if that's how you're feeling, recognize that you're not alone. Really, we all face those times when we feel like it would just be easier to compromise. So how do we have a faith that lasts? Because the lions are roaring. Maybe they're roaring in your life right now. But I want to assure you, if they're not, they will be at some point. You'll hear the lions roaring. You're going to face the lion's den. So I want to challenge you today to keep the faith. No matter how bad it looks, don't give up. Keep the faith. So I want to encourage you to encourage one another today. Turn to someone beside you and say, keep the faith. Just say, keep the faith. Keep the faith. So we're going all in the book of Daniel this Sunday as we learn to persevere in a faith that lasts. So be encouraged. We are encouraged because the best is yet to come. So I'm so glad that you're joining us in this series of All In. We've been at this a couple weeks, and I just want to bring you back to where we've been. The first week, we were going with Daniel and his friends, and it starts in a rather tough spot because they are being taken captive from Judah. They're exiles, the last ones out of the land of Judah, the promised land that God gave them. Things are not looking good. But in captivity, Daniel and his friends, they remain faithful, and they discover that God is God in the big and the small. In other words, in the really big, important things in life, God is in control. And even in the little tiny things in life, the small things that really don't seem to matter, we trust that God is in control. So you might be thinking, why does that matter? Well, as we went on, we realized that Daniel's three friends, whose names that you might remember if you were here last week. Anybody remember Daniel's three friends? I hear them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you've heard the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they showed an amazing confidence in God and found out that God can save them through the fire. And the point is that God doesn't save us from the fire. God doesn't always save us from difficult situations. Instead, God saves us through the fire. He brings us through those difficult situations and is with us in the midst of him. So an all-in faith is willing to go through the fire with God. So God honored them in their faith, and we recognize God is with us. So today we're going to take another look at Daniel as we pick up his story at the other end of his life. Now, some scholars estimate that he's probably about 83 years old, just a little older than I am, a long life. And through it, he demonstrates a lasting faith. So we're going to look at how Daniel kept his faith for a lifetime. So seniors, I want to address you right now for a moment. This is really just kind of for you. A faith that lasts a lifetime. Now, you might be thinking, why does that matter? I mean, at this point, you might be thinking, my faith is strong. And, you know, why would I worry about that lasting a lifetime? And most of us might wonder, why is that a big deal? Why wouldn't my faith last? Well, I'm going to challenge your thinking because here's the thing. Your thinking is going to be challenged in this world. It's going to be actually challenged big time. So Tim Saccone, he's director of youth ministries for the Evangelical Covenant Church, and he said that your generation, which is Generation Z, unique name, Generation Z, is a generation that, he says this, God is leading to love and serve Christ. And he says we're seeing it right now in the Evangelical Covenant Church. And that's really awesome that God is using you to love and serve Christ in your world. So I applaud you for that. Good job, Generation Z. And yet, and this is important, I'm quoting him again, he says, yet we continue to face a significant challenge in reaching our youth for Christ. And then he quotes a Barna Research Group. He says, Generation Z is the most biblically illiterate generation. It says, with only 4%, that's 4% of teens, proclaiming the importance of a Bible in their worldview. 4%. So what does that actually mean for you? That means that the story of Daniel that we're talking about today and the story of Jesus in the Bible, that it has no bearing on most of your generation. In fact, it doesn't even figure in. Most of your generation has a worldview that doesn't factor in the God of the Bible. And that might be hard to understand or hard to believe, but when we leave this place, that's the reality. So what does that mean for you? It means that the God of Daniel, if you're a follower of Jesus, that the God you trust with your future, Daniel's God, is unknown to your generation. So many of the people your age that you're going to interact over the next 4 years, they don't believe in the same God you believe in. They don't know your God. They don't know the God of the Bible. And here's what I think that means for you, that you're going to have to prepare yourselves for the same kind of encounters that Daniel had in the Bible. The same kind of encounters with people who just don't know his God, who don't understand God's ways, who don't understand God's love and forgiveness and grace. And so you're going to have to deal with that in your life. They didn't know God's power. And they don't know the way of Jesus. So I'm encouraging you to be prepared. So more than any other modern generation, you're going to encounter people that are going to persuasively, and I'm going to say convincingly, challenge you to compromise your ways and live a little less than an all-in faith. That's just the way it is. That's just the world you're entering into. Now, what I've shared is only half the story. It's half the challenge. The rest is far more positive. So I also want to encourage you to be prepared for the same kind of encounters that Daniel experienced with God. I'm talking about supernatural encounters, where you really see God show up in your lives, where you really see God step in, where you step out in confidence and faith, and you know that the only way you're going to get rescued is if God acts. And I truly believe that when you do that, you will experience the power of God in your lives. You will experience God at work. So prepare yourselves for those divine encounters that meet you in the middle of the roaring lions and strengthens your faith and encourages you to remain strong, because our God is the God of Daniel. So I hope I have your attention. Don't fear. Have all in faith. And, you know, this is your senior year, so you've come through a lot. You've come intact. I applaud you for that. It's been a tough year. It really has. And you are a generation that really can see it through. So recognize that your God is the God of Daniel and that he is the one who rescues his people. So I want you to know that, as Pastor Greg has said, the church is committed to walking with you. And so remember that. We're praying for you. We are here for you. But in the end, it is up to you to pursue Christ with all your heart. We'll do everything we can to support you. I just want to encourage you to follow Jesus and find him faithful. So for the rest of us today, I think I'm going to go a little off script. Pastor Greg says it's dangerous to go off script. So I think this will pull off, though. We'll give it a try. So I want to jump into the parable that Jesus told about the soils. Now, this might be a familiar one to you. We talked about this recently. I think it's worth sharing again. I'm just going to paraphrase it. There's a farmer who goes out to sow a seed. Now, in those days, he's just throwing seed out on the ground. And the farmer's spreading seed. Some of the seed fell on a hard path, and the birds ate it up. Jesus said that this represents people who hear the word of God, but, you know, the devil steals it out of their heart, and then it doesn't take root. So these are people that don't have any faith. Now, there's some seed that the farmer spread. It fell on rocky ground, and it sprouted. But because the soil was light and dry, the seed just withered and died. Now, Jesus said this represents people who hear the word of God, but then when difficulty and persecution comes, they fall away from their faith. So again, they lose their faith. So then it talks about some seed that fell amongst the weeds. So it sprouts, it grows up, but then the weeds grow up beside it and it chokes out the seed. It doesn't produce anything. So this represents people who hear the word and believe, but you know, the worries of life, the worries of riches, the pursuits of life, they choke out that confidence, that faith, that pursuit of Jesus, and they compromise. They never produce a harvest. So this is not an all in faith. And I want to focus on this one for a minute. We'll just finish the last one, then we'll come back to this. So the final soil is a good soil. The seed fell on this. It grows up, produces a good harvest. It represents people who have faith that lasts a lifetime, and through that lifetime produces fruit. And the fruit is followers of Jesus, followers who make followers of Jesus. So this is the all-in faith. So that's where we want to be. We want to be those followers who have an all-in faith and produce a big harvest of Jesus followers. So here's what often happens. Here's our biggest challenge. I think this is Daniel's challenge. The worries and pursuits of the world choke out an all-in faith. Now, this is very real, and there are so many things competing for our faith. And the point is, they're good things. They're really good things. And I know that you guys are committed to good things in life. And so yeah, we have to be careful that those good things don't actually draw us away from an all-in faith in Jesus. They don't draw us away from putting first God. Because when we put God first, then everything else begins to fall into place. And here's how this ties in with Daniel's lesson. I think too often we falsely believe that if we are faithful to God, if we're faithful, our faith won't be challenged. I think we wrongly think that we don't need to worry about the weeds in life because we won't compromise. I just don't think that's a reality. It's just not true. See, faithful people are often challenged, and I think are challenged even more than people who don't have an all-in faith. So in fact, people will always face a challenge to their faith. It doesn't matter if you're faithful. And in fact, it does. If you're faithful, you're going to be more challenged. So I want to challenge us to be prepared, because those challenges can choke out our convictions and cause us to compromise. So I'm not saying this to discourage you, but simply to prepare all of us for the challenges that we face. The lions will roar. So how can we keep the faith? So we look at Daniel in chapter 6, and we find out that he has been exceptionally devoted to God. He's been all in for God. He's risen to power in several successive governments. God has really helped Daniel. And while he's been in exile, he was faithful to God through it all. And now at 80 years old, it's Daniel's faithfulness that gets him into trouble. Do you hear that? It's Daniel's faithfulness that gets him into trouble. And Cheryl knows me so well that I'm in trouble. So thanks for your faithfulness. So we pick up his story and learn what nurturing of faith looks like. So in Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it pleased Darius, he's the king, to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. So Daniel so distinguished himself among the three administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So Darius the Mede, he's the current ruler. He took over from Nebuchadnezzar the Babylons through a series of assassinations. And now he's picking his top advisors, and he's going to pick Daniel to be the top one. Everything seems to be going Daniel's way. God's favor is on him. He has been faithful. And actually, that seems now to be the problem. So at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So what's happening here? These other leaders, they're jealous of Daniel. They don't want Daniel to rise above them. I mean, Daniel, he was a slave, an exile from Judah. They don't want to see him elevated. But the problem is, this is a faultless guy. You know, he's all in for God, all of his life. And there's nothing they can find wrong with Daniel. So there's no way to get Daniel to compromise, so they have to set him up. We need to get this. An all-in faith puts a target on us. If we're really going to live for Jesus, we're going to have a target on our back. In other words, we're going to be in the sights of those who don't understand our God, who don't know our God, and who end up opposing our God because of that. So if you're living with an all-in faith, Jesus said, expect trouble. He said, in this world, you'll have trouble. But then he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that's the point. We can trust in Jesus. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or any human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into a lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue this decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put this decree into writing. So in the historical context here, this makes sense to issue this decree. He's trying to bring together all these nations and rulers. And as he's doing that, he's recognizing that, you know, what could be better than to bring them all together than to get them to all bow down and worship the king? And to this culture, that wasn't a big deal. They had all kinds of gods and human beings that were like gods, they thought. So doing this for 30 days was no big deal. And besides that, there's a deception going on. The officials know that Daniel honors only the God of Israel, that he's never going to bow down to a king. So Daniel's a one God, all-in follower. So the deception is that Darius assumes that Daniel's actually in on this edict. They said all the royal administrators and prefects and satraps and advisors and governors have all agreed. So the king believes, including Daniel, and he agrees to this new law. But Daniel wasn't consulted. So he has to make a choice. I mean, what can Daniel do? He could compromise. You know, he could just stop praying for a month. What harm would that be? Or he could pray privately, perhaps, and not stand in the window and pray at night or three times a day like everybody has seen him. But he knows that if he does that, then it's kind of the same thing as actually people will just think that he has changed his mind and he no longer serves his God. Or he could simply rationalize and compromise that it's worth it to preserve his role in the government. At least he could work from the inside out. But in the end, the choice really comes down to obedience. Either obedience to God or obedience to man. Obedience to God or obedience to the government. He could bow to God or bow to an idol. Now, this might hit home for some of us this past year. Maybe you've seen in some of the pandemic mandates a choice. And maybe to you it seems clear, a choice between obedience to God or obedience to the government. But I actually want to caution us a little bit here that I don't think that comparison is quite as clear as it might seem, not in our situation. I think it misses the point of the book of Daniel. So I believe it is safe to acknowledge that temptation to compromise our faith is real. That's real. The temptation to fit in or to gain acceptance or an advantage is real. That the pressure to conform or to avoid persecution, to choke out our all in faith, all that's real. You know, I felt that pressure this year. I'm sure many of you have as well. But the better conclusion to draw from our experience and from Daniel's here is to keep our conviction that it's always better to please God than it is to please man. It's always better to please God than it is to please man. So Daniel gives us courage to put God first. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. So Daniel goes all in once again, and he risks his life in doing that, trusting that God is going to deliver him. Just like God delivered his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire, he's trusting God to deliver him. So how did Daniel cultivate that faith that at the end of his lifetime, he can go all in knowing it could cost him everything? So what made the difference between a compromising faith and a faith that is real and lasting? And I think we find the answer in just a little phrase in verse 10. I want to repeat the phrase again. It says, Daniel went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. And here's the phrase. I think this is what makes all the difference. Just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. See, Daniel didn't fall into a faith that lasted a lifetime. This faith that gave him the deep conviction to obedience to God being more important, it wasn't by accident. It was a faith that was cultivated over the years, over time, as he got on his knees in intimate prayer with God, as he continued to grow in that relationship, as he continued to lean into God, as he continued to experience God's saving grace in his life and in those, the lives of those around him. The more he began to know his God, the longer he walked with his God, the easier it was for him to follow in faith. And I think it's true for every one of us. Whether we're graduating seniors or whether we're brand new to the faith or whether we are at the end of life and still hanging on, an all-in faith starts in a personal relationship with God, and it is nurtured in an intimate prayer life with God. Daniel couldn't compromise on that. So the key to an all-in faith is to cultivate an all-in relationship, an all-in prayer life. And that's what Daniel's enemies knew that they could count on, Daniel's all-in prayer life. It says, these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and accused Daniel, saying, Daniel, who is the one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you are putting in writing. He still prays three times a day. So again, they misrepresented Daniel that he's ignoring the king, but he's simply just being committed to God. So when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. So I love this story. You know, the king is on Daniel's side, but there's nothing they can do. The king can't go back on his decree. So both King Darius and Daniel know one thing. One thing. This is up to God. This is all up to God. This is going to take a divine rescue, and only God can do it. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you trust that when it really comes down to it, that only God can do it? I'm going to ask us to just simply hear the rest of the story and let the words of the Bible speak. So I'm going to read it to the end. And as I do, listen carefully and remember, this is now all in the hands of God. And as I read, ask yourself, is Daniel's God the God I know? Is Daniel's God the God I trust? Because God in Daniel's day is the same God today. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles. So Daniel's in the lion's den, sorry. Stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it and his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language on the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of the kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus. At the mouth of the lion's den, a miracle was Daniel's only hope. And by the end of this ordeal, Daniel's not only saved, but he is also exonerated, and he's once again elevated to the court of the king. And the saving God of Daniel is glorified. So here's my question for us today. Are the lions roaring? Are the lions in your life roaring? Are you facing challenging choices? Are you tempted to compromise your faith because in all reality it just seems easier to let it go than to hang on? I want to encourage you today, rise above the roar. Remember Daniel. He was obedient and he was delivered without a scratch. And Daniel gained a place among the heroes of the faith that's recalled in the New Testament in Hebrews 11. It says, "Who through faith stopped the mouths of the lions." And Daniel's God is still the same God today. So God is acting in your generation, in our generation, to strengthen his people with a faith that lasts a lifetime. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't compromise. God has the power to deliver Daniel, and God has the power to deliver you. Whatever lions are roaring, be confident. He can deliver you without a scratch. So keep the faith. Keep the faith. Turn to someone beside you and tell them, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Call on the name of Jesus. Nurture that prayerful relationship that lasts a lifetime and cultivate an all-in faith, and you will experience the rescuing power of God. Walk out of the lion's den and proclaim Jesus, the God who saves. I invite you to renew our confidence in God and our commitment to an all-in faith in prayer. Just bow your heads if you would. And join me in prayer. If this is your heart, then ask God. Lord God, your word says all who call in the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, we are here today as your followers. I know on various parts of that journey, but we're here, Lord. We really do want to honor you and live all in for you. We know, Lord, that life is full of struggles. Lord, help us to live with that confidence that Daniel has. Confidence to trust you, all in everything. Confidence to put you first. Confidence to obey you rather than people. And Lord, we know in so many ways that those can go hand in hand, working with people and trusting you. But Lord, there are times when it comes down to a choice. Strengthen us to be faithful. Strengthen us to be your witnesses. Strengthen us to walk with you. And God, when it comes down to those situations when only you can save us, Lord Jesus, help us trust that you are the one who rescues his people. And Lord, give us good hope and confidence, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Lord, that there is far more at stake than the situations we face now. So Lord, again, we commit to being all in. If that's you, if that's your heart today, if you're online, go ahead and type in, I'm all in. If you're here today, just tell Jesus, I'm all in. And as we do, trust that God is with you and that he is the God who rescues you. Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. In your name, amen.